This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off.
I'm a hairstylist by trade, and I started a nonprofit for trichotillomania. It's called Help Me Too, like number two, stop.org. So I'm a nonprofit founder.
How did you get from being a hairstylist to then founding that nonprofit?
Okay, so I was a nursing student throughout high school and college, and that was a school time internship. And during the summertime, I needed a summer job. And so I just happened to look at the Daily News or the New York Times, and it was a position for assistant and manicurist. And this was back in 1987. So I was about 16 years old. So anyway, I got my start at the salon and I liked it. I gravitated towards it because I enjoyed helping, making people feel good about themselves and confident about their look. And that's when I decided that I wanted to pursue a career in cosmetology, because one of the services that we offered in the salon was hair extensions. And the only way to become to do hair extensions was you have to go to beauty school. So in beauty school, you have to learn hair cutting, hair coloring, hairstyling, all those things, and for all types of hair. And all I just wanted was to do extensions, but nonetheless, I had to go to beauty school, and so I became a hair extension specialist. And from that, there were clients that wanted hair extensions, but their hair was too weak or too thin. So I had to branch out into hair loss solutions. So I took a class in hair loss solutions, right? And in that class, the method to install a hair piece was shaving of the natural hair. But I could understand that because the clients, the majority of the clients that needed that hair loss solution, that toupee, they had a very few hairs on their head. They were not opposed to having their own hair shaved off. But I found that to be interesting. But anyway, fast forward, I started offering hair loss solutions, and there were some women, clientele women, that they didn't have like two hairs on their head. They had enough hair on their head. So I remember there was this one woman, and she was gifted the service. She thought that was the shaving of her hair, her natural hair, in order to put the toupee, was a standard methodology across the board. She didn't know that there were other solutions. So I introduced her to the solutions that I've discovered from my hair extension background, and she liked it a lot better. And from her, I started getting clients with trichotillomania. And I have to tell you, when I first learned, when I first got the call that the client had trichotillomania, I was really nervous. I was thinking to myself, well, if she pulls out her head hair, what are the chances that she's going to pull on the hairpiece, right? So I was really very nervous. But she walks into the salon, right? And she was very shy and I was very scared. So we're both feeling the same apprehension. So anyway, I consulted with her and I just listened to what she had to say. And I said, well, I'm thinking, the best solution for you, because she had nothing, no hair on top, right? So just picture like a horseshoe shape, but nothing on that. And then the rest of her hair was long and curly, right? So I decided that a custom hair piece was the solution to cover that top of her head, right? And so I ordered the piece and then I installed it and everything, but I installed it in a way that didn't involve shaving her natural hair because I've learned a technique in my hair extension journey that there are options to extend the hair with hair grafting, so on and so forth. But anyway, getting back to her, she would come in monthly for her maintenance, right? And then the following month, when I remove the piece, well, first of all, before I even began the maintenance procedure, her whole demeanor changed. Like you could just see her whole outlook. It was just a confidence that exuberated throughout her whole being. She was just a totally different person, more confident. And she was just laughing and smiling. And she was telling me, oh, I couldn't believe that the people in my job, they said, wow, your hair looks good down. Little do they know that that was a hair piece. But they complimented her and saying, your hair looks good. You should keep it down more often, et cetera. But anyway, right? So getting back to her appointment, when I removed that hair piece, I could not believe I saw some hair growth. I just could not believe it. And that continued month after month, right? And she started out with her piece being larger. So I decided to, because I would always ask her, I would say, are you ready for me to trim away some of the excess material on this hair piece? Because it seems like you're feeling more control on the other areas. And she said, yeah, please do. And that's what I did. I just go by what she's telling me. So whatever she's telling me, I just go for that need. So it eventually turned out, like after 9 months, she was ready to wear hair extensions. And the hair extensions, it's something that you don't cover the hair and the scalp. You just extend it from her own hair. And that right there was just a profound for both of us. And because I volunteer for lookgoodfeelbetter.org, Look Good Feel Better, it is a program that helps patients that are undergoing chemotherapy, give them that support from volunteer cosmetologists who teach them, like, let's say, how to apply new eyebrows, how to care for a wig, how to style a head covering. So that way, when the person during chemo treatment, when they have that, armed with that knowledge, they look good and they feel better. And when they feel better, that's the road to recovery for them. So I was wondering if there were any other programs like that for trichotillomania. So that's when I heard of TLC. And I joined back in 2005. And yeah, I was wondering if there were any programs. And there it was still new. A lot of people still didn't know about trichotillomania. The internet was still new for a lot of people. And so that's why I decided to start a nonprofit that emulates what Look Good, Feel Better does for people undergoing cancer. And not just that, but my beauty industry, our own salon industry, we do so much for the cancer community. And still, there's not much education or programs for trichotillomania.
I can just imagine being this woman coming in and thinking, oh my gosh, like it's so bad that I have to maybe shave it. Like, and you changed her whole life. And wasn't she in remission for like 15 years?
Okay, so that was my first client. That was back in 2004 when I first got my trick client. And then I started opening other locations because I'm based out in Stroudsburg. That's the Pocono area. And our there's in this area, there's so it's close to New York City. So it's 80 miles from New York City and about 100 miles from Philadelphia. So we decided that this is such a specialty that we offer. Because, mind you, I'm a hair, that's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to do hair extension specialists to hair loss solutions. So, altogether, it was just hair enhancements. I didn't really particularly want it to focus on general salon services like hair cutting or hair coloring or highlighting, anything like that. I just wanted to solely focus on hair enhancement solutions, right? So, being the fact that I'm a specialist, I wanted to offer my services in my hometown in New York City. And one of my colleagues, we are part of a hair loss education class. And we decided we want to involve Philadelphia. So that's how I, me and her, we started in Philadelphia. We co-owned the cosmetic hair restoration studio. It was close to Center City. Anyway, that's how we acquired a lot more clients with trichotillomania. And believe it or not, right? When we started getting more trichotillomania clients, I'm telling you, they surpassed our hair extension clients and our chemotherapy clients. So that
Wow.
goes to show that there was such a need for people with this condition who want that confidence, right? So that's why I started Help Me to Stop, because just because of that overwhelming need for that confidence.
Prior to getting your clients with trichotillomania, had you ever heard of it before? Ever run across anybody that had it in your personal life?
No, not at all. Well, not that I know of, but we did learn about trichotillomania at the hair replacement class. But the teaching was just maybe about 2 minutes. They just told us, these are the type of clients you're going to get: female pattern baldness, male pattern baldness, chemotherapy, alopecia, and trichotillomania. That's what they just told us. They didn't emphasize, oh, these clients, that they're going to come in like this. This is their feeling. They want the confidence. They didn't mention that. Well, then again, that was back in 2002 when I took the hair replacement class. So I don't know if things changed.
Did you notice that your clients would pull from the hair pieces?
Oh, so in my career, with trichotillomania that started in 2004, I've only had one client, to my knowledge, because sometimes, I do understand there's still the shame and the secrecy. And also, when they're young, very young, and their mom is right there in the salon, and they don't want to say anything. So I sense that. But in my 20 plus years of dealing with trichotillomania clients, my knowledge was one person that said she pulled out from her hair piece. But she did say that even though I pulled out from The hair on the hairpiece, I'm not pulling out my own hair, and this still makes me feel a lot better. I'd rather pull that hair than my own hair.
What would you say is the youngest person you helped and maybe the oldest person you helped?
The youngest person, I would say maybe under 10. And the oldest person, I would say maybe in their mid-60s.
Maybe what are some stories or memories that you have with clients that really stood out to you that you're like, wow, I am doing such powerful work here?
Well, the recent one, wow, like I cannot believe it. So I had the privilege to attend the BFRB Changemakers Conference in New York. And I have to say thank you for that conference, Anila. And there was this young woman sitting in front of me, and I never met her in person, right? But I remember she followed me on my Instagram. So that's how I knew her face. And then I was like, I wonder if that's Deborah. And so I asked her, I was like, oh my God, oh wow, real, oh, that kind of thing, right? And I was like, wait a minute, Deborah, is that your real hair? And she said, yeah. And I was like, what? You know, and this is now 15 years later. Now she's that when we started with her, she was a teenager. Now she's in her 30s, right? And so that was shocking to me. And I said, can I interview you? Can I ask you all these questions? Do you mind? Do you mind showing your face on video? She said, yes. I was asking her all these questions. And then she said she's not pulling on her head hair at all. And I could not believe it. So that just those many years, 15 years, over 15 years, that says a lot. And I was very happy at that moment. Very, very happy.
Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
And her video, it's on our YouTube, and it's long. It's like over 5 minutes, but she details for those who like are interested in having that kind of solution for them, or their parents are interested in that as a collaboration together, then she has some tips and tricks because she said her parents helped her a lot.
Have you ever had any moments with parents where you had to kind of step in and say, hey, listen, let's maybe do this instead of this? Like, have you ever had to, flex your, professional skills and say, like, hey, I got this. Let me talk to your child about it.
Well, so parents, it's very hard because they're frustrated and they see this as an investment. But then they, at the other part of them, are thinking, well, if she's damaging her hair, what are the chances she's going to damage this? So I can understand that. So the most important thing is that we tell the parents they don't want to do this. It is very difficult. And we just want you to be supportive. Because in the beginning stages of my career, and I didn't know anything about this. So at that time, I didn't know what to say. So I was just overhearing the conversation. And I would look at mothers talking to their children. And they would be upset with them, or they would cry, or they would not have that sort of support. So that in the beginning stages, that was that. But now, as the more I start to understand the disorder, then I started to tell the parents, well, this is what what you can do. There's well, that time there was the nonprofit TLC. Go to them, their support groups, check this out. And there were brochures. I would show them the brochure. Look at this. This is from TLC, that sort of thing. So that kind of eased their mind to know that they're not the only parents with children with TRIC.
What would be like your do's and don'ts of the hair barrier and hair piece?
I would like to say the most important thing, other than the appearance side of it, the most important thing is that the methodology that we use is a medical grade adhesive bond. A lot of people call it glue, but anyway, so you know, there's a curing process, right? It's similar to like if you break a cup and you glue on that broken cup and you hold it in place, but you have to hold it in place, support it together before you can drink from it or wash it, right? So the same thing with any installation that uses adhesives and bondings and glues and whatnot. So what you want to do is one, after you have it done, after you have it installed, make sure you really press that bond on its track and let it cure completely. It will feel nice and hard once it's cured, right? But when you start to engage in like swimming or even if you sweat, you want to make sure you want to press that adhesive, let it cure again to your head before you even try to brush your hair, because this is what's going to happen if it's not cured. Okay. So if that adhesive bond glue is not cured, then what's going to happen is slowly that hair piece, it's going to derail slowly from its original base. You don't want that to happen, but if it does, then if you're able to get underneath that hair piece or hair barrier, then you want to contact your hairdresser so that she could fix it for you. But yeah, the most important thing after you wash it, after you engage in swimming or sweat or any sort of activity like that, and that piece is pliable, the glue adhesive bond is pliable. You want to press it again to your head. And what you can do is you can use a headband to support it so that it stays in place while it cures and hardens. And I'm telling you, once that hardens, you can do whatever you like. You can style it, put it up, whatever you want to do. Go on a roller coaster, drive with the windows open. Yeah, it's not going to go anywhere once it's fully cured.
How long is the process from when you enter the salon and then leave?
Some people, it takes, maybe an hour to 2 hours, maybe three. And that's just for the first install. It really depends. And for the maintenance, maybe 2 to 3 hours for the maintenance. And that is because we just have to make sure that everything is nice and tucked inside and they're unable to get underneath there to pull out their hair, that sort of thing, and address the new hairs that's grown. And maybe the piece needs tender loving care because, oh, it's matted or anything like that. So it really all depends, but I would say a maximum of 3 hours, usual on the average. So I would say 2 to 3 hours on the average.
And then for the maintenance, is that every like month or every 3 weeks?
We find the most effective is monthly. Yeah. And some people will go come in before, or some people will extend it to 6 weeks. But the most important thing is that they will know once that bond glue adhesive starts to deteriorate, and they will know, like, oh, I can get underneath there. Oh, I better go see Charlene, or I better go see my hairdresser. Then, yeah, it's time for an appointment. It's like a band-aid, you know? Like when you put on a band-aid, you know when to, it needs to be changed.
What would be your advice to someone who's listening who wants to learn more about Help Me to Stop and maybe get a hairpiece installed?
Someone who wants to learn about Help Me to Stop, what our philosophy is, our current mission is that we want, well, me, I want to be an educator. I want to teach stylists in how to better serve the trichotillomania community. We now have an official advisory board supported by dermatologists. So, what I'm trying to do is basically, given our experience, our helping people fight the habit, stop the habit, minimize the habit, go onto the path of remission. I feel that because as a volunteer for the cancer community, I've seen that insurance, medical insurance provides help for chemo clients in the form of providing cranial prosthesis, covering their cranial prosthesis. So, right now, I don't see any monetary help for hair barriers for trichotillomania. It is still seen as a cosmetic solution rather than medical. And I just believe, and I know you know this too, Barbara, that trichotillomania, this is medical. It's not cosmetic. It's not just a salon thing. It should be a healthcare solution. It needs to improve the quality of their lives, of their well-being, of their health. That's why I see these hair barriers as a necessity. It's not cosmetic. From what I've experienced throughout my career with trichotillomania, it should be in the same insurance help, medical help as for chemotherapy, cancer, hair loss, and not just beauty. And you know something, my clients do agree with me because they do say, I wish insurance covers this.
Well, Charlene, it's been fantastic talking to you, learning from you, hearing all of the amazing work that you've been doing. Is there anything that I haven't asked that you would like to share before we wrap up?
Oh, I just want to say, you know, look, let's grow our community. Our community needs each other. Nonprofits, we need to unite. Okay, it's time for unification because we need to rebuild our trichotillomania community. We need to unify. Okay, we each have a different role in our mission. Let's just like a body, it has the hands, the legs, the insides. Okay, we need to unite and just become one single community. And that's the most important thing because we are stronger together. And when we're stronger together, we are powerful together and we can raise more voices. We can help more people, and that's what we need. We need that outreach. You know what? Thank you for this podcast because you are giving trichotillomania a voice, and you do have a strong voice, and I applaud you for what you're doing. You and the change makers, Anila, Ellen, energetically, Ellen. I applaud you,
Yeah.
ladies. So you ladies, yeah, keep raising your voices. Keep interviewing. Do what we have. Let's just join forces and do what we have to do so that we could help this community. Okay?